First of all, before we start, the show has been out since 2016. It's been downloaded over 2 million times. I look on Apple Podcasts. I have less than 400 reviews. How the hell is that possible? Go on Apple Podcasts and leave a goddamn review of the show. Now let's get to the business.
Stayolay.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively. That aggression with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
You listen to the show every day to be the best version of yourself. And every episode here, we talk about locating and activating that inner drive so you can be the best you from within. That's why I'm telling you about my book, The Mirror of Motivation, which I am making available free for a limited time. This is a free physical copy. If you go to mirrorofmotivation.com to claim your free copy of this book while supplies last, you will get the self-guide to self-discipline, over 100 pages of finding that inner drive, locating that discipline that you need to build up your confidence and become the best version of you no matter what your goals are in life. So go to mirrorofmotivation.com and claim your free copy of the self-guide to self-discipline while supplies last. You're now tuned in to the show where you learn the discipline that moves you to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence that will pull you, push you, motivate you, inspire you to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, what you're saying, there's more? Yes, there's more. You get the personal initiative. This is that self-starter energy, that go-getter energy, that energy that moves anyone when they have it, when they are so inclined to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. We put all this together into one package, and what you get is what you're listening to right now: the mindset, the method, the philosophy, the book, the podcast called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic is you must nurture your sales mindset in order to fully profit off of your work. Any of you, listen, anyone listening to this who you believe you are good at what you do, you believe there are people out there whom you can serve, whom you can help, whose lives, whose businesses, whose mindsets, whose bodies, whose whatever it is that you help them with, you can help them create positive change in that space. You believe you have something of value to offer the world, and you understand that value gets exchanged for value. If you're going to give value to people, then it only makes sense that you should be receiving at least equal, if not greater, value back in return. If that is you, if I'm describing you right now, you don't have to be a business owner, you don't have to be an entrepreneur or freelancer, but if you just want to get value back for the value that you put out in anything, you could be working at CVS. I worked at CVS the summer before my sophomore year of college. You need a sales mindset in order to profit off of your work. I know someone. Actually, I know a whole lot of someone's, but there's one particular person I'm thinking of when I'm talking about this, not going to say their name, but I know someone who's a really, really, really good creator. Meaning, when it comes to delivering the goods of what they do for a living, this person is one of the best that I've seen. They can communicate very well. They can explain what they do well. They have an innate sense of how things work in their area of expertise. This person is an expert as far as knowing all that needs to be known, knowing all the things that could go wrong, having been through a whole lot of experiences, having helped a whole lot of people, having built a track record of positive results. This person has it all. They check every single box. And I know others who are just as good, if not better, in other areas besides what this particular person does that I was thinking of when I thought of this subject that I'm thinking of right now. But here's the thing you got to understand. Unless you develop a focused mind on the sale, the exchange of your value for value from other people, unless you get focused on that, or until you get focused on that, you will forever feel, you'll have these feelings of maybe unfulfillment. You'll feel like you're being underpaid. You feel like you're doing way too much work in exchange for the value that you're getting back in return. You'll feel like maybe you'll feel a little bit resentful at the fact that you've given so much value to so many people, yet you don't feel like you're getting equal value back in return. So you feel like you're kind of giving a whole lot more than you're getting. Has any of you ever felt that way? I'm sure you have. Maybe you feel it right now. Maybe that's what led you to listen to this. I'm going to help you with that today. I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do or what you need to start doing and or what you need to remind yourself of to make sure that this problem doesn't continue to perpetuate in your life. Point number one, today's topic, once again, is you must have a sales mindset to profit off of your work. Understand something. Let's get this right on the table from the beginning. This is something that a lot of salespeople, creators, entrepreneurs, brand builders never quite understand. Creating things and selling things are two separate disciplines. If this was the whole episode, if I just ended the episode right there, 5 minutes in, I would tell you everything that you need to know. And you could be able to come up with at least 15 ideas for what you need to do with that information if that was the whole episode today. If I stopped it right there. Creating things, meaning creating things could be being great at podcasting. Creating things could be you can write an amazing book. Creating things could be you're a great speaker or a salesperson or coach or a basketball player or a personal trainer or I don't know what's the other jobs that are out there. Teacher. Or what's another thing? You fix iPhone screens. You're great at what you do. If you are amazing, you're a great dancer. You're a great athlete. You are a great fill in the blank with whatever it is you do when you're out there working. Doing that thing and selling that thing are not the same thing. They are two completely different things. In other words, you must give the same amount of attention and respect and investment into learning how to sell what you do as you give into doing what you do. I'm sure I've said it here on the podcast before. I've talked about it in my emails. If you are not on my email list, go to workonmygame.com and get on my email list. Don't be a fool. I've talked about this in my books. I've talked about this on my Instagram story. If you're not following me on Instagram, it's at Dre Baldwin. And this is something that a lot of people really need to get, especially if you have any type of, if your background, and you don't have to have the same background, but if and what you do is anywhere similar to mine, and that when it comes to my professional basketball career, the only reason that I had a professional basketball career is because I know how to sell. I know how to sell myself. I know how to market and promote myself in such a way that I can get other people interested in listening to me, following me, reading me, watching me, finding out what I'm doing, at least getting more information. I'm good at that. That's a skill of mine. I had some natural abilities at it, but I also have developed the skill to do that. The only reason I played pro basketball is because of that ability to sell myself. Any of you who have heard my story enough here on this podcast, if you read my book, Work on Your Game, you read my first book, Buy a Game, back in 2011. Shout out to those who've been following me for that long. I've talked about this, that when I got out of college, I didn't have any agents. You heard agent Kevin Tarka here on this podcast a couple weeks ago. I didn't have anybody like Kevin coming to my school scouting players. No, there were no Kevins calling my phone or sending me emails or recruiting me or trying to sign me. I didn't even have any exposure camps reaching out to me, telling me to come to their camps. Because y'all know that at least back then when I was getting out of college, exposure camps, which if y'all don't know what that is, like a job fair for athletes where they want athletes to come there and play their game in front of decision makers and hopefully they can broker, they can be the middleman. The exposure camp event itself is the middleman between the team general managers and coaches, et cetera, and the actual players who want to play for those teams. So the exposure camp is like the event that brings everybody together. It's the connector event. Exposure camps are for-profit events, meaning every single player who attends an exposure camp pays money to come to the camp. So exposure camps want to get as many players as possible at their events. They probably put a cap on it, but usually they'll take every player they can get because it's more profit for them, right? And here's the thing that I don't think I've ever even talked about this. A couple of my college teammates received recruitment / pitch messages in the mail, physical snail mail letters, recruiting them to come to a certain exposure camp. Because what this camp, and they didn't send a letter to every player on the team. They sent a letter to certain players, players who were seniors, players who looked like they had good stats, players who looked like maybe, sort of, possibly could play professional basketball or might. Their performance looked like they might be interested in playing pro basketball. The exposure camps would recruit players just to see who they could get to come to their camp. I didn't receive a single one of those letters. Not one. So they weren't even, the exposure camps that would charge me for a chance to play pro ball didn't even ask me, did I want to play pro ball? You understand what I'm saying? I didn't have any coaches, agents, etc. knocking down my door to play pro basketball, offering me opportunities. The only reason that opportunities existed, any opportunity I had in pro ball, is because I know how to sell, market, and promote myself. I'm not saying that to impress you, but to impress upon you that as much time as, for those of you who were following me, let's say up till 2014, 2015, when I was damn near everything that I put on the internet was about basketball and playing basketball and practicing basketball every single day. Those of you who are following me during that time, as much time and effort and attention and energy and focus you saw me putting into working on my ability to play basketball, I had to, and you need to, be putting that same amount of time, attention, energy, focus into learning how to exchange your skill for what you want in exchange for the skill, which is usually money. That's usually the way that we, it's usually the way we do transactions in this world, at least in the Western, at least in Western culture, as far as I know. There's a different way, you let me know. Creating things and selling things are two separate disciplines. They must be given equal respect. There's an art and science to each. I want you to understand that as well. The art part is the kind of parts that you just go off your feel. You go off your instinct. Like, this just makes sense. This feels right. This one, I think this one looks better than that one. So there's the art side of the things that you do. Then there's also the science side. The science side is the data. The science side is the black and white. The science side is the, yeah, you can feel this way, but this is what the facts are saying. Now, you understand? That's the difference between the art and the science. There's an art and science to everything, and there's an art and a science to both selling and creating. Some people are really good at the art side of things, which is usually people I know who are really good at the art side of things. Those are the creators. They're great at creating things, but they're terrible at selling the things that they create. So they have all these great things that nobody can have because they can't sell them to anybody. They don't have the mindset to sell. Not that they can't do it. They just don't have the mentality of, all right, how do I get this in people's hands? I created it, but now I got to get it out to people so I can actually get paid for it and actually help other people with it, which we're going to get to in a minute. So there are a lot of people who are great at the art side. Not a lot of people, at least whom I've known. I mean, there are plenty of people out there who are, but people whom I've known are not so great always at the science side. The science side of what you do is the data, the black and white, the facts. See what the science is. The science will look at your art and say, yeah, that's cool. Your art is cool, but here's what the data says. So your art, we're going to cancel this piece of art out because the data says this piece of art ain't working. And that's something that not only do many people who are great at the art side, many artists, not only do they ignore it, but they also have a hard time accepting it. If someone comes to them with some science, some data that says your art is not working, a lot of artists don't want to hear that. A lot of artists are not objective enough from looking at their own creation to take it out in the back and shoot it like an old dog that's on his last legs because they put everything they had into it. They put their passion into it. They put themselves into it. They take it personally. They own it. Therefore, if you tell them that the science says your art is not quite working, some artists don't want to hear that. And that right there is a severe weakness of many artists because they're not willing to look at what's real when it comes to actually getting the exchange for what they create. And this is where we get people who have this disease. Any of you ever heard of the phrase the starving artist? All right, this is where the starving artists come from. And you do not have to starve just because you're an artist. And just because you're starving doesn't mean you're an artist. There's a book called Real Artists Don't Starve. I reviewed that book at dreallday.com/read. I also put that review in the game group. And in the game group, coming soon, there will be video reviews of every single book that I have read. Every single book that's on that list, and there's a lot of books on that list. It's going to be a lot of work, but I'm going to do it. It's all going to go into the game group. You can find out more about the game group at dreallday.com/game group. Two words, game group, but it's all one word because of the URL. You get it. Anyway, the starving artist is the artist who is great at the art but terrible at the science. Don't let this be you. If it has been you, stop letting it be you. Some people are great at the art. Some are great at the science. I've rarely met anyone who's a natural at both. I know some people who have a little bit of ability at both. I would say I have a little bit of ability at both. I'm not natural at either one. Little bit of ability at both. I think if I had to pick one, what side would I lean towards? I say I would lean a little bit more towards the artist side. But as I've learned over the years, that the science side matters a whole lot. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't have had a pro basketball career if I didn't understand the science side of actually selling myself. I could be the greatest player in the world who never got a contract if I didn't understand the science. Which means this. All of that means this. For those of you who are great artists, you must invest in your learning. And those of you who are great scientists, you're great at data, but you can't create something that is that somebody that will be compelling. You can't create a great product, or you've never created anything from scratch that's worth buying. Maybe you don't need to learn the art, because maybe you don't have to. I mean, you can just find somebody. All you got to do if you're great at the science is go find someone who's great at the art and terrible at the science and partner up with them. Look, I'll help you sell your stuff. I get a cut. You get a cut. Everybody eats. So I'm not even going to tell you to invest in learning the art, because I think art is more of a, I will say this. I think art is more of a something that people have. You either have it or you don't. And I think the science side is more of a something that can be learned. But I could change my opinion on that. But that's how I feel right now, just speaking on it off the top. So when it comes to the science of selling what you do, you must invest in your learning. That's the point that I'm making here. Even if you are natural at the art of selling, or you think you are, it will help you to understand the science of selling, even though you feel you're natural at it, because it will sharpen your skills and it will make your talent more effective. This is where, as I said with myself, I never took a course on selling yourself or marketing yourself or personal branding before I sold myself to get into professional basketball. So that's where I had some natural abilities. But once I started to invest and learn more in the science of selling, I learned that even though I knew some things and I was good at some things naturally without thinking about it, I had some talents. Once I learned the science, I was able to enhance that talent and actually make it work more systematically, something that could be more predictable. And I think all of us, especially you freelancers, entrepreneurs, you want something predictable in your life when your business may not always be such. And when you're first starting, it often probably won't be. So even if you're a natural at the art, it will help them learn the science. Sharpen your skills, make your talent more effective. Just as a talented basketball player is still going to have a coach or a trainer, you still got to go through practice like everybody else on the team. This is your talent. That doesn't mean you don't have to do any work. So as you learn more about the science of things, you'll learn that there are a whole lot of things that you don't know, no matter how natural you are. And there's a whole lot that you probably don't know if you never invested in learning the science. Point number two, today's topic is you need a sales mindset in order to profit off of your work. People value what they buy more than they value what they get for free. Again, people value what they buy more than they value what they get for free, even if it's the exact same thing. So it means this. You as the creator, you as the artiste, you as the person who is creating value for other people and helping other people, if you really want to help people, you want to make sure that the people that you're serving get the maximum value out of what you're doing, this is what you need to do. You need to make sure they pay for it. Because when people do not pay, they don't pay attention. When people do not invest fully, they are not invested fully. For example, I'll give you a prime example that everyone who's listening to this will understand. This podcast right here. I talked about this in a previous episode where I was talking about investment. If I started charging for this podcast, I would say a good percentage of people who listen to it would stop listening because they just wouldn't be willing to invest. And investment is not about the dollar amount. It's about a mindset. I could charge you a dollar. I could charge you a penny. It's just the act of pulling out your credit card and paying it that would take a whole lot of people away. But here's the thing. If I started charging a dollar a year to listen to the Work on Your Game podcast, or $1,000 a month to listen to the Work on Your Game podcast, the people who did stay and did pay, I guarantee you would pay a whole lot more attention to everything that I said than how much you're paying attention right now when you're getting it at no cost or low cost. Why? Because people pay attention when they pay. That's just what it is. It is just a human thing. When we invest, we're invested. If you want people, so you as the creator, as the salesperson, as the helper, the servant, whatever you want to call yourself, if you want your audience to get maximum value out of whatever it is you're giving them, you must make them invest in it. That's the only way they're going to get max value. People do not get max value out of things that they didn't invest in because they don't pay close enough attention when they don't pay, because it's free. They can just throw it away. It doesn't matter. I didn't pay anything for it. Who cares if I waste this episode? Who cares if I waste this book? Who cares if I waste this YouTube video? Who cares if I waste the knowledge this guy just dropped on the stage? I didn't pay for a ticket to be in here. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You're not paying as much attention simply because you're not invested. When you're invested, you pay a little bit closer attention. Now, here's one reason why is human beings, the majority of us, especially in Western culture, we have an emotional attachment to money. Meaning, when we spend money on something, we pay a whole lot more attention to that thing that we spent money on. It could be a piece of garbage that we spent money on, but just because we spent money on it, we pay a whole lot closer attention to it than if we got it for free. Exact same thing, exact same product, service, idea, video, speech, coaching call, whatever it could be. When we are invested, we're watching, we're listening, we're focused, we're taking notes, we're reviewing everything. We're actually acting on the actionable steps that have been given to us by whomever we were working with when we pay. When we don't pay, that was just disposable. That was okay. It'll be another one tomorrow. Be another one next time. I didn't pay for it. Doesn't matter. This is the way human beings think. I'm not saying necessarily you, probably you, but not necessarily you. But this is the way people think. So you as the creator, you got to make people pay. Yes, it's going to help you because it's going to put money in your pocket, but it also helps them. When people pay money, they pay attention. If you are dealing with customers, clients, prospects who are not willing to pay money, they're also not willing to pay attention. All right, so don't be mad or upset or saddened when you deal with a prospect who ends up being a suspect because they're not willing to pay money because you don't want that person anyway. They wouldn't, even if they paid money, they would not get any results. You would not get a good testimonial out of them. You wouldn't get a great case study out of them. Nothing. Nothing about that interaction would have done anything good for you, except it would have put some dollars in your pocket. But the amount of time you would have had to invest in that person for them to get no results, not because you're bad, but because they're not really invested, is not even worth it. People had to invest to be invested. Clear enough? Point number three. Today's topic is you must develop a sales mindset in order to get your products, services, ideas, value, whatever your value is, out to people. You must develop a mindset of selling, a mindset of making an exchange, not just giving, but an exchange. Point number three, in basketball, there's this saying, and I think I did a whole episode on this, probably a couple hundred episodes back. Full archive is in the game group. You can also get there by through workonmygame.com. In basketball, there's a saying that says, the question is not if you can shoot the ball, because almost every pro basketball player can shoot the ball on some level. And when I say shoot the ball, I'm talking metaphorically. Okay, so before you make a joke about some player who can't shoot, this is the metaphor. Meaning, if you're out there, you probably can do the thing, right? If you're signed to a record label, you probably can sing on some level, or dance, or rap, or whatever it is they signed you for. If you're on a basketball team, you probably can play basketball. There's something you could do on the court that makes a contribution and makes you worthy of being on the team. If you're a soccer player, you know how to play soccer on some level. If you're a teacher, you know how to teach on some level. I mean, somehow you got that job, right? Somehow they decide to hire you. The question is not if you can do the thing. The question is, can you create an opportunity to do the thing? So in basketball, we say, question is not if you can shoot. The question is, can you get your shot? See, a lot of basketball players can shoot, but they never score any points. Not because they can't shoot. They didn't forget how to shoot. It's because when they get on the court, they can't find an opportunity or create an opportunity to actually shoot the ball. They can't get open. When they get open and they do get the ball, the defense is on them so closely, they can't even attempt a shot. So the question is not, can you shoot? Because in an empty gym, I mean, y'all have Instagram and YouTube and Facebook or whatever. How many times you see a basketball player, some maybe a known player, maybe some guy you never even heard of, but they're in this empty gym on an empty court and they're playing against folding chairs and traffic cones and beanbags, and they're just doing all these shots and dunks and moves, and you're like, damn, that looks really impressive what that person is doing. But then you see any game footage of that same person? You see that same person playing in a game and you're like, wait a minute, why is what they're doing in their practice look nothing like what they're doing in the game? Why are they making all these shots in the practice, but then in the game, they can't make that shot one time? Because it is not about if you can shoot, it's can you get your shot. Here's what you must understand. Creating great stuff is one game. Selling it is another. They are not related. I mean, they are, but they're not. What I mean is, in order to sell stuff, you got to create something. Or at least if you're going to do it through your own stuff, you do. So they're related in that way. And when you create something, you probably want to sell it. So they're related in that way. Well, the way that they're not related is that just because you can create something great does not mean you can sell something. That in that way, they're not related. You create all the great stuff that you want. That will not contribute to your ability to sell. You must invest independently in each ability. I know some great creators, as I said at the top of this episode, who couldn't sell water in the desert. I know some creators also who have products that are not very good. They're kind of trash. I'm looking at this problem like, this is it. This is what you're selling. But they sell more than you would think they're selling based on their work. based on the value, the quality of what they're creating, they're selling a whole lot more than you would think those products or services would sell. I'm telling you that to tell you that these are two different games. Have I said that often enough? So what should you do with all this information? You have to invest in your education. You need to read up on selling. Read up on marketing. Take some online courses. Subscribe to some YouTube channels. It doesn't matter who it is or where you're getting it from if you don't know how to sell. All right, so anybody out there can give you some information if you've never gotten any. Anybody can give you something. If you're not a good salesperson, you can learn from everybody. If they're talking about it, selling, marketing, publishing it, selling and marketing, then they're probably better than you if you've never done it. If you've never invested in selling or marketing, somebody who is and they're willing to put it out in public, they can at least say one thing that you can learn from. So you need to start investing in your selling and marketing skills, or the creation of your selling and marketing skills if you have none to this point. Let's recap today's topic, which is you need a sales mindset to profit off of your work. And I mentioned my book, The Seller's Mindset. Coincidentally, workonmygame.com/sell, S-E-L-L, The Seller's Mindset. There's also a part of the business bundle, which you can get at workonmygame.com/biz, 3 books on sales, value exchange, and creation. But today's topic, again, as we recap, you need a sales mindset to profit off of your work. Point number one, creating things and selling things are two separate disciplines which must be given the same amount of time, attention, and respect. There is an art and a science to each. Some people are a natural at one or the other. Very rare is a person who's a natural at both. Even if you are a natural, just like a very talented basketball player, you still got to practice. You still got to show up to practice. You still got to train. You still got to do the work that everybody else does, because it sharpens your skill and it enhances your talents. All right, talent that is not honed and worked on becomes wasted talent. Point number two, people value what they buy more than they value what they get for free. What does that have to do with today's topic? If you want your audience to get maximum value out of what you do, you must make them pay for it. What people do not pay for, they're not invested in. When people are not invested, they're not invested, meaning they're not going to get great results out of anything that you give them for free simply because they're not paying as close attention to it as they would pay attention to something that they pay for, even if it's the exact same product, service, idea, etc. Point number three, in basketball, we say the question is not if you can shoot, because a lot of people can shoot. Question is, can you get your shot? Can you actually get open and shoot a shot in a game when everybody's trying to stop you from doing so? Those are two different questions. Here's what you got to understand. Creating great stuff is one game. Selling things is another game. They are not related. They are, but they're not. Being good at one does not make you good at the other. That's the point that I'm making, which means you must invest independently in each. I know some great creators who couldn't sell a cup of water in the desert. I know some creators with trashy products who sell a whole lot more than you would think they would based on their trash ass products. They are two different games. So what do you need to do? Invest in your education. Read some books on sales. Buy every book on sales that you can afford and buy it right now. Go watch some YouTube videos on sales while you wait for the books to come in the mail. Take online courses. It doesn't matter who it is or where you're getting it from. If you have never invested in sales before, everybody can teach you something. If they're talking about it and publishing it, they believe in it enough to talk about it in the public, then you can learn from it. Keep learning. And if you are a creator, again, every minute that you are not invested in the exchange, getting your stuff in the hands of other people in exchange for their money, you are hurting your business and you're hurting your ability to create, because there's only so much you can create without getting anything back before you're not going to be able to create anymore. And again, seller's mindset at workonmygame.com/sell, S-E-L-L. Work on your game. Dre all day. There are a lot of episodes in the back catalog of this podcast that I reference all the time. And finally, we have workonyourgamepodcast.com. Go there. You can get access to the archive of the show, all the publicly available episodes, and some bonuses that I'm going to give you that I'm not even going to tell you about right here, and a whole bunch of cool stuff that is coming very soon. So you better be there before the cool stuff comes, or your ass might miss it. Workonyourgamepodcast.com. Go there ASAP.